The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Tech Tips. This month, we'll take a look at a wearable vest called Biped, then a look 1 year out from the first ever SciTech Global Conference on Assistive Technology, and finally, Windows 11's new accessibility features. All that on this month's episode of Tech Tips. While this next article has nothing to do with self-driving cars, it does have something to do with the technology used in developing self-driving cars. The article is entitled, World's First AI Copilot Brings Autonomous Driving Features for Blind and Visually Impaired People. This article comes to us courtesy of Cool Blind Tech. A Swiss company called Biped is pushing the field of assistive devices to the next era, bringing together cutting-edge AI technologies and the most intuitive feedback on the market. It predicts your surroundings a few seconds ahead and generates intuitive feedback through spatial sounds. Biped is a co-pilot device. It brings autonomous driving capabilities to humans. Wear it on your shoulders, pair it with the headphones of your choice, and start hearing what matters around you. Thanks to its 3D cameras, Biped will identify the surrounding objects and obstacles, predict their trajectories, and filter the most important information. Biped uses spatial sounds to let you feel the position of the important elements around you. Spatial sounds are sounds that are really close to real-life sounds. You can feel that they come from a specific position in space. They advise using bone conduction headphones connected over Bluetooth for optimal experience, as it won't block surrounding sounds. Here are some of the features of Biped. It comes with a 6-hour battery life and weighs less than 900 grams. It also has a 170-degree field of view to keep you safe at all times. The software behind Biped is named Copilot, inspired by autonomous vehicles. It integrates the latest advances of research and industry. It will allow you to safely and intuitively navigate in your daily life and identify important objects. SoundMap identifies more than 20 classes of objects. Get warned through spatial sounds of any important object that is in your way. Get guided in new environments with simple spatial audio feedback. You can also connect your smartphone's GPS. The device identifies and predicts obstacle positions. Never hit an obstacle again. Biped identifies more than 10 classes of objects and filters only important objects coming in your direction. The company developed a smartphone app in which you can follow a 20-minute tutorial before getting started. Switch on the device, pair your headphones, and you're ready to go. Most of the functionalities will also work in the dark. Most importantly, their obstacle avoidance relies on high-quality infrared cameras that work in any condition. You can use either wired headphones or Bluetooth ones. They, however, recommend that you use bone conduction headphones to have the best experience, as it does not block the rest of the sounds. The company is currently running a beta testing program. Simply fill in the form and you will be contacted to test the device and get early access. Biped has been working extensively to compress the costs of the device. They are working on the reimbursement of the solution in specific regions and will offer a subscription model to make it as affordable as possible. As a reminder, they are currently in the beta testing phase of the software. If you would like to know more about it, you can visit their website at biped.ai. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. SciTech Global returns for year two. This article is written by J.J. McDowell and comes to us from the Access World magazine. SiteTech Global is a mainstream accessibility conference which focuses on big picture technology trends and aims to give a glimpse into what the future of access technology may look like in the next 5 or 10 years. Now in its second year, it is organized by online news site TechCrunch and was entirely virtual and free to attend. The conference featured speakers from Apple, Google, Microsoft, Humanware, Vispero, and other leading mainstream and access technology companies and covered such topics as tactile images, autonomous vehicles, and indoor navigation. The main stage sessions are available to watch for free and also include full text transcripts. Some of the highlights of the 2021 event are covered below. The Holy Braille in Action. There has been much talk in recent years about potential solutions to render multi-line braille and tactile graphics electronically and on the same screen. Greg Stilson, head of global innovation for the American Printing House for the Blind, did more than just talk about the future. He demonstrated it. Stilson fired up an early prototype of a graphics device developed in partnership between APH and Humanware, which has casually been referred to as a tactile Kindle. This is not APH's first foray into developing a tactile image device. In fact, their former partnership with Orbit Research yielded the Graffiti, a 40 by 60 pen tactile tablet capable of creating touchable imagery. But one thing missing from that product was the ability to display Braille in a form familiar to readers, as opposed to jumbo-sized dots. As Stilson points out, we can't change the way that the pen actually feels to somebody. We can't change the way Braille feels. It's just too much to change. It's too much to accept. So we're like, okay, the way I look at this is if you took the way a print font looks, if you took away the way a specific print font looks to a sighted person, the adoption rate would be far lower. So I wanted to make sure that we really refined the pen and the way the pen feels so that people are comfortable as soon as they lay their fingers on it. In fact, much of the user research performed over the last year examined these concepts, including how many lines of Braille to include in the device and how thick to make the graphic lines, major design decisions which will ultimately guide the development of the product. The importance of having both Braille and graphics on the same screen would be hugely beneficial to many types of users, with a math textbook given as one possible use. Imagine a geometry book which includes a story problem, which then references an image. Ideally, a student would be able to read the math problem and then locate the image to come up with a solution. But to take this idea to the next level, it may someday be possible for that student to touch the area of the image to zoom in and realize more details. Meanwhile, the entire screen could be relayed to a parent or teacher so they can follow along with what the student is learning. In the live demo, it took about 2 seconds for the image or text to be displayed on the machine. Stilson envisions creating a means for software developers to connect to the unit, potentially evoking many uses beyond APH's educational needs. Application designers could feel what a screen looks like in real time while designing an app. Travelers could read tactile maps or learn about their surroundings. With the right software, just about any image that is available online could be rendered on the machine. This technology will not be cheap, but Stilson also points out that it currently could cost $30,000 to produce one math textbook. Some of this cost comes from the embossers and the amount of paper used. Think thousands of pages for a large textbook. APH is exploring possible sources for grants to help defray the cost, as the current federal quota system used by school districts would not easily support such a large purchase. With a bit of luck and lots of testing, we may see this yet unnamed device by the end of 2023. Apple, taking images to the next level. This year's event opened with a Q&A session with Apple's Sarah Herlinger, Senior Director of Global Accessibility Policy and Initiatives, and Jeffrey Bingham, Research Lead, AIML. Accessibility. The letters of AI and ML were common themes of the conference. Artificial intelligence, or AI, is the process of solving a task that would normally require human intelligence. Machine learning, or ML, is a major part of current AI research and uses huge sets of data to try to detect patterns and make predictions about objects, scenes, and texts. For instance, a machine learning model might be fed thousands of images of different trees in order to teach it what a tree looks like and the characteristics they may contain. But not all trees look the same. They come in many shapes and sizes. Some have leaves, while others don't. To compound this further, trees look different when viewed from a different angle. Where older methods for identifying an image may seek to find an exact match for a picture or something very close, machine learning takes the previous images of trees into account and tries to determine if the next image has the same characteristics. It can also use clues about the surroundings, i.e., most trees would be found in an outdoor setting. Apple has made huge strides in depth of image recognition features, which really started to become widely available with iOS version 14 in the fall of 2020. This fall, iOS 15 included a new feature called Live Text, which will allow you to interact with text that is found on a picture. This can be accessed by taking a photo using the camera app. As an example, if you were to take a picture of a business card, which included a phone number, you can select this number and dial it directly from the app. Like most new Apple features, it was accessible with VoiceOver from day one. Machine learning has also been used to create features which are mostly targeted at certain users, such as people who are blind or have low vision. From the photo viewer, VoiceOver users can select an option to explore the image, allowing a user to move their finger around the screen to hear the relationship of items in a photo. When taking a picture of my desk, it identified my laptop, a mixer to its left, a wooden desk, and even some of the text near controls on the mixer. Instead of having all of those items in one large description, as is done with some image apps, each element is selectable using regular VoiceOver commands, and I can move my finger around the screen to understand the relationship between these objects. Machine learning has also been tapped to provide accessibility to apps which may have not been available in the past. It does this through the screen recognition feature, which attempts to recognize common controls like buttons or sliders, and then convey this information to a VoiceOver user. And while this is exciting, Harrington notes the feature is not meant to give app developers a free pass when it comes to making the products accessible. We are really encouraging of developers and kind of work with them to make sure that they're putting the time and energy into the accessibility of their own app so that members of the blind community have that full experience in a way that is just a little bit better than what we're able to do with our machine learning models. Performing these tasks on a device is another huge technology advancement. Formerly, phones were not powerful enough to manage all of the data required for recognizing images or text on the device itself. Rather, they would upload images to the cloud for processing by high-powered computers, which many apps still use this approach. It often results in slower response times and could lead to security breaches, allowing for image recognition and other features on the device itself largely negates these challenges and also allows for these features to work in areas where internet access is not available. Bigham points out that even just 10 years ago, the prevailing thought was that there was not enough computing power in the world to make these huge leaps in machine learning advancements. Seasoned iPhone users may recall VizWiz, an app which could give information about what's in a picture. The difference between then and now is that, at the time, a human was the one supplying the answer, not a computer. Now, there is a growing amount of data that can be used to provide these descriptions automatically, with numerous ways to learn about your surroundings on an iPhone alone. Researchers and engineers will be looking at not only how to improve the computer-generated response to questions, but also how to make the experience as fluid and seamless as possible. Apple, as they often do, did not give many specifics on features planned for the near future, but it's quite evident this is a major area of focus for the company. They have made numerous advancements in machine learning over the past few years, and it will be interesting to follow their developments going forward. Looking forward with Google Lookout. Across the virtual aisle, one of the main areas of focus for Google and the Android platform has been Google Lookout, an app available on many modern Android devices which can recognize text, food labels, currency, and objects, among other things. One area of emphasis for the Lookout team is finding ways to bridge the gap between the images that are used for training the data models and the pictures they are receiving from users. Often, user photos are less clear or taken at a less than ideal angle, so the results that are presented are not what might be expected. Lookout product manager Scott Adams wants to tackle some of these challenges and find ways for users to get the exact pieces of information they are seeking. What if only part of that object is visible? Is there a way we can let the person know that and perhaps teach them so they can get better results? Another example Adams gives is the text of a newspaper, where there may be multiple headlines and stories on a single page, laid out with many columns and pieces of information. He would love to find a way for the app and users to be able to tell the difference between headlines and articles, and then focus on the articles or piece of information they desire. Currently, text is often read as one large block, making it more difficult to discern specific parts of a complex page or document. Among the new features added in 2021 is support for handwriting, which can be found inside the Documents mode of the app. The decision to include handwriting in the existing Documents mode was intentional to create a smoother experience for the user. Support for the more devices and languages is also in development, though senior software engineer Adriana Reyna admits this can be challenging given the vast Android ecosystem. We think that there's a group of features or baseline of features that are so important. We really wanted to make sure they worked on all devices. And so, we have been testing and doing this gradual rollout to make sure that the features that we have are supported in all devices. Despite the iPhone being the more dominant device for blind and low vision users, especially in the United States, Android is used by nearly three-quarters of the world's mobile phone users, and Lookout remains a key component of Google's accessibility strategy. It's available for free from Google Play. A stellar preview for HumanWare. Dr. Louis Philippine Massey, Vice President of Product Innovation and Technologies for HumanWare, gave a first glimpse at a new GPS-based product they are currently calling the Stellar Trek. Building on past innovations from the Victor and Trekker lines, the new product will include both modern GPS features and a built-in camera. It's the latter inclusion that Massey feels will vastly improve the navigation experience for blind travelers. The device is a bit thicker than a smartphone with two high-resolution cameras on the back and a simple set of buttons on the front, which is intended to be activated using your thumb. A familiar challenge to GPS users, in fact, is often referred to as the FFFF, or the final 40 feet problem, referring to the gap in information between the GPS, which guides you to the correct block or area where a location sits, and locating the actual door or landmark the user is seeking. The Stellar Trek will use a combination of the cameras, more accurate GPS technologies, and an onboard voice assistant to help solve these challenges. We want to give additional help such that it will be a little like having a friend helping you going to those final 40 feet. So we will use the AI and the audio out to eventually locate potential threats. And sometimes when you're on the sidewalk, the path to the door may not be a straight line. So we will say, okay, you will have to go at 10 hours for 40 feet and then turn to 2 hours and so on. The device is envisioned as a standalone unit with no internet connection required. But cloud connectivity is something that is being explored for the future, perhaps as a subscription and an add-on one-time fee, with an offline option remaining available. Massey cites battery life as one major advantage of a standalone unit, potential battery life of 5 or 6 times that of a smartphone. The Stellar Trek is expected to sell for north of $1,000 and be launched this spring. The future is autonomous, but it may be a while. When participants on a panel of experts on autonomous vehicles were asked by moderator Brian Bashin on how long it would take until a blind person would have a reasonable chance to hail a driverless vehicle, the response were all over the board, ranging from a few years to decades. This represents one of the complexities that various groups are working through while developing and honing next-generation vehicle technology. There are a variety of considerations to think about when teaching a vehicle how to coexist with a person who is blind, starting with simply recognizing a cane as an object to avoid, since in some cases, a white cane may just blend in with the surroundings. Beyond this, it's important to recognize the varying travel methods of people. For instance, a blind person may explore the curb cut with their cane or react differently to light change or other nearby objects. These interactions between vehicles and a sighted pedestrian may be different than that same interaction with a blind traveler. Aside from this, consider the situation when you are at the airport and are trying to find your Uber or Lyft. Currently, you might call the driver and describe what you look like so they can locate you, but an autonomous vehicle has no human at the controls, so alternatives will need to be considered. In Arizona, vehicles can honk the horn by request of a passenger, a feature used by many users, not just those who are blind, but perhaps a horn honk is too abrasive, and more polite sound should be employed. There is also the matter of directing the rider to the vehicle or to the door at their destination, and doing so in a way that is both efficient and safe. Based on all of these and many other issues to work out, it becomes clear why the opinions on when autonomous vehicles will be a normal part of life vary tremendously. So look for a driverless car in 5 years, or perhaps 50. There were more great panels and sessions than what were mentioned above, including a look at the future of Amazon Alexa, a look at indoor navigation and mapping, and a look at the latest developments for Microsoft's Seeing AI app. Be sure to check out the agenda page to find out all of the main sessions from the conference. Will many of these predictions come to fruition in the near future? Time will tell, but we'll be able to track the progress made when the conference returns in 2022. Listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Windows 11 has been out for a few months now, and Access World Magazine has done a little preview of some of the accessibility features in it. This article is entitled, What's New in Windows 11 for Screen Reader Users? And it's written by Judy Dixon. In this piece, I will briefly review the major new features in Windows 11 that will affect screen reader users. Many of the changes from Windows 10 to 11 are visual and will have little to no impact on those who rely on screen readers. The new interface is meant to be softer, friendlier, and more discoverable. The changes, such as the start menu being in the middle of the taskbar, will not even be discernible to those who do not see the screen. There are, however, a few differences that will be noticeable, but the overall experience of using Windows 11 is very similar to using Windows 10 and should not present any difficulties. After more than 6 years since the release of Windows 10, on October 5th, 2021, Microsoft released Windows 11 to the public. Not everybody is being offered the free update immediately. Microsoft is rolling it out over a period of months. But if you just can't wait, you can download and install it whenever you like. There are several prerequisites that a computer must meet to be eligible for Windows 11. Details on these are listed at the Windows 11 System Requirements website. If you would like to know if your computer is eligible for Windows 11, Microsoft recommends installing the Accessible PC Health Check app. It can be downloaded from this same System Requirements page. New computers are now shipping with Windows 11. If your first encounter with Windows 11 is on a new computer, as you boot the computer, Windows 11 will tell you that you can launch Narrator to go through setup. I recommend that if you are not a regular Narrator user and you choose to do this, you brush up on your Narrator keyboard shortcuts. You can get a complete guide to Narrator from the Microsoft website. There are a few new keyboard shortcuts in Windows 11. The Action Center has been split into two parts, Quick Settings and Notification Center. The Windows key plus A opens Quick Settings. Here you can manage Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and audio. edit the Quick Settings menu, and open the All Settings interface. The Windows key plus the letter N opens the Notification Center. The Notification Center includes all your notifications and a full month calendar view. The Windows key plus C opens Chats. Microsoft Teams is now built into Windows, and this keystroke opens the chat feature. The Windows key plus the letter W opens the Widgets interface. Widgets is a new feature similar to News and Interests for Windows 10. By default, it has widgets for weather, news, sports, and so forth. You can add and delete items as you wish. The Windows key plus the letter Z opens the Snap Layouts menu. Snap Layouts is a way to visually position the windows on your screen. Voice tapping is the dictation feature built into Windows 11. Actually, Windows 10 had a rudimentary dictation feature, but it has been significantly enhanced in Windows 11. It is now a very smooth and seamless experience that is available anytime you can enter text from the keyboard. Simply press the Windows key plus the letter H and voice typing will be activated. Even if you are running a screen reader, such as JAWS, the words are not spoken as they are entered, so the additional speech does not interfere with the dictation. If you are using a Braille display, the words being dictated are scrolled onto the display as you speak them, so you can follow along as the words are written. You will need to have an internet connection for voice typing to work. Pressing any key on the keyboard will turn voice typing off. Auto punctuation, which is off by default, can punctuate your dictation as you speak it. To turn on auto punctuation, while voice typing is active, press Alt plus Windows plus H. Shift Tab once to reach Settings and press Enter. Tab to auto punctuation and press the space bar to turn it on. As of this writing, the Alt plus Windows plus H hotkey does not bring up this dialog in JAWS. But if you upload JAWS and launch Narrator with Control plus Windows plus Enter, you will be able to do it. Once turned on, auto punctuation stays on until you turn it off. A few small changes worth noting. Ease of Access has been renamed Accessibility. There is a new sound scheme. The sounds are softer and much more subtle than the sounds in Windows 10. Light mode has one set of sounds, while dark mode has a separate set of sounds. Focus Assist now includes the opportunity to set a focus session as part of the clock app to set an amount of time to limit notifications, include scheduled breaks, and associate specific tasks. New features on the horizon. Additional features have been rolled out to Windows Insiders. These are the beta testers and developers who test new features. Two new features of particular interest are the ability of Windows 11 to run Android apps and Voice Access, which will allow users to control a PC by talking to it. In summary, Windows 11 is a smooth experience for screen reader users with a few nuggets worth getting excited about. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Tech Tips is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.